Hello, everybody. This is Kenny Evans and David Berry, and welcome to It's What You Keep. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you learn how to keep more of the money you earn so you can turn your income into lasting wealth. Good morning, Dave. How are you doing today?
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Hey, look, before we get started today, I wanted to ask a big favor.
Yeah, what?
Big favor. Could you loan me like $500?
$500 for what?
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. I'm just a little short on the bills this month, man. I don't know how it happened, but you know, I figured while I had you, I could ask you.
Oh, no, that's cool. That's cool. Okay, now I can get it to you. So when do you think you're going to pay it back?
I could probably maybe give me like a month. Give me 30 days.
That's cool. That's cool. But look here, because you're going to have my money for a month, I'm going to need a little something back for it. So let's look at this. So in a month, 30 days, instead of giving me $500 back, you will give me $570 back.
Whoa, wait. What are you talking about?
Hey, listen, you've got my money for 30 days. I need it.
And you're going to. You know what? I can't even get mad. And so,
right. Yes, yeah, so listen.
But
so,
let's go.
So, in this episode, we're going to begin a multi-part series on credit and how people get it and people misuse it. And so there are a lot of people that, you know, get into this cycle of just using credit cards, you know, inappropriately and running up debt after debt after debt, and then just things spiral out of control. So let's look at this. So what is credit? Credit is basically your ability to borrow money from somebody else with the agreement to pay it back at some later date. And because you have their money, they will charge you what's called interest. So that's on top of what you've just borrowed. And so you have to pay them back, you know, the original sum plus a little bit more. And sometimes that little bit more is a lot more.
You know, I have heard of such things. No, I'm very familiar with this. And for me, I like to say that credit hits me as a way of paying more for something that I can't afford in the first place.
That's right.
It really is.
Yep. And these credits, you know, sometimes they come in a lot of different forms. Sometimes they come in bank loans, payday loans, and even loans from friends, like we just heard.
But exactly.
The most common form of credit are credit cards that we get into. And so my first credit card I got in college. And so, Craig, Ken, tell us, what is the credit card story?
So, yeah, credit cards are, I mean, I've gotten to the point where I consider them, I almost want to say necessary evil, and I'll explain that later, but definitely not the means by which you should be financing most of your life. They are extremely heavily advertised. I don't know if you've noticed that, but you get you see ads for them and you get mailers about them all the time. And there's a reason for that. They are making a lot of money by people using credit cards. And why do people use them? Well, first of all, it's easy access to funds. A lot of people get a new credit card and they see that as free money. I've got new money. And it's not that. You are literally borrowing money from someone else.
Right.
Another reason that they're popular is that you get to pay back slower than you took it. So you basically get the money up front, you know, buy now, pay later, and you get to pay it back over time. And that has its own issues with that. We'll get into that in a minute. A lot of credit cards these days are leaning on the fact that some of them can be seen as a status symbol. Mm-hmm. You even hear it in rap songs and stuff about black cards. And, you know, you see someone has a certain color credit card, whether it's an American Express or a Visa or whatever, and it's got a certain color. That tells other people, hey, that person has a credit card that you could, like, put a car on or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a, and so, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us in our society are really hung up on what other people think and how other people see us. So having something that's a status symbol, like an expensive credit card. And by the way, those expensive credit cards that look like status symbols, they actually charge you just to have the card. And I'm talking hundreds of dollars.
That's right. Yeah, there's an annual fee just to have that card.
An annual fee. Now, why I wanted to say it's kind of a necessary evil is that, unfortunately, there are some business deals or business exchanges we do that require, or at least make it easier, if you have a credit card. For example, renting hotel rooms and cars. If you want to rent a car, generally they want a credit card. And recently I've seen, Dave, in the last few trips I've taken, they are putting deposits on rental cars automatically.
Ooh, that's
so
right.
When you go and rent, you go and rent a rental car, they want to throw another like $400, I know, at some places to help ensure return of the car. So I rented a car recently. I had it for one day for $65. And my credit card charge, what they pinged my card for, was like $465. And yeah, it falls off, quote unquote, when you return the car. But they need a card.
That's right.
And if you're in there with cash, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just yesterday, I did exactly the same thing. I rented my wife a car.
Yep.
And, you know, I saw my credit card bill. This was $250 they put a hold.
Yep. Yeah. That's become more common. And it's also automatic now. But having a card, without a credit card, it's extremely hard to rent a car because you can't go in there with cash a lot of times. They just don't like it. And now you're seeing things like, you know, people are using their cards for Amazon or for buying online. You need a credit card. A lot of stores have stopped accepting cash. I never thought I'd see this day. I remember when I was young, my dad used to say, well, they always have to accept cash because it says United States of America on it. Not sure where he got that theory from, but these days, they have backed away from it.
Oh, yeah.
You see a lot of stores that are credit only, and they're looking for your phone, to be honest about it. They want you to tap your phone, but your phone's tied to a credit card. In 2024, there were an estimated 1.4 billion credit cards being carried by Americans. 1.24 billion. Now, when you consider, I think we're at like 400 million in this country, people.
Right.
There are 1.24 billion credit cards being carried, and the credit card industry earned somewhere in the neighborhood of $176 billion from the use of credit cards, with interest fees, that extra money that they charge for holding your debt there, was $76 billion. These are huge numbers. Yeah. And then the average household was in, you know, almost $9,000 in credit card debt. So, you know, this is a lot of money that these credit card companies are making, which are why they are so aggressive with their marketing. But the problem is our use of them and the spending we do to buy things we don't need and or technically can't afford.
Right.
So, I mean, speaking of the marketing, what you got anything on that?
No, because these credit cards are marketed so heavily because they make a ton of money. As you just mentioned, that it's hundreds of billions of dollars that are invested in the credit card industry. And people think that it's free money, so they use it so easily. And so these are the ways that these credit cards make money. They make money on each transaction as well. Now, they are loaning you money and you're expected to pay it back with interest. And this interest is really high. You know, some of these credit cards have annual interest rates of, you know, 20%. I think that's probably the average, 20%.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the average interest rate. But they make money on each transaction that you, whether you pay the money back or not, or are late, they make money right away on each transaction. I've used my credit card in a cab, and you know, different credit cards have, you know, different transaction fees.
Different. Okay.
And one of the cab drivers said, and this was years ago, He said, "Oh, no, don't use that card because they charge me too much. If you use that card, can you use another credit card?"
Wow. And just I can remember at certain like small restaurants and stuff, like, you know, local Chinese food place or whatever, they would say things like minimum credit card purchase $10.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or you go to a gas station that has different gas prices on for cash versus credit. What they're, it sounds like they're trying to do is cover this fee that you're talking about.
No, they make it worth their while to actually make the transaction. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. I think one of the research figures that we saw, 2024, the transaction fees for credit cards in the United States was about $187 billion.
Wow.
That's just right off the bat, without even taking into account the interest.
No interest charges, no late fees. No.
And so, wow. And then, so the next one is interest. You know, so as you borrow this money and pay it back over time, you are paying, and 20% is huge. That is, and that's the average. Some of them are even more than, I've seen 25%. And so if you look at, you know, holding a balance year after year after year and paying 20%, oh my goodness, that is outrageous. Annual fees, we mentioned annual fees. So some of the credit cards that we have or that are out there, they charge you. Now, the annual fees are, you know, I've seen $100 a month, you know, $170 a month. That's not as big, but still, it's income for the credit card company.
Sure.
Late fees. Sure. If you promise to pay it back and you are late, then there's a fee on top of that. Overdraft fees.
They are killing us.
There's lots of different ways that, you know, the credit card companies will make money off of the end user. And so these are become very lucrative for the credit, even the risk. So if someone takes your credit card, and they, you know, run up a lot of charges. Well, you just call the credit card company, because this has happened to me. You just call up the credit card company and say, "Hey, my credit card was stolen or lost, or I don't understand these fees. That wasn't me." They just take them off. Many cases, they say, "Oh, that's not yours. Okay, all right, that's fine. Here, we'll send you another credit card. Get going."
Yes. Yes. That is crazy.
Get going.
That is, but they want to keep one in your hand.
Oh, absolutely. So I've had it the next day.
Go ahead. I'll tell you a quick story. I had an American Express card that I wasn't using anymore, and it had an annual fee on it, right? Now, with my business, I also had an American Express card, and then my wife had an American Express card, and we're both, you know, extra users or additional users on each other's cards. So, you know, so we had all these stupid cards. And I said, "Well, I don't need this one. I'm paying an annual fee on it and I don't use it. I'm going to cancel it." So I went on to American Express website with the chat person and said, "I'm trying to cancel this card." And they're like, "Why do you want to cancel it?" I said, "Because I'm not using it." And they're like, "But you get all these great benefits." I said, "Yep, I get them on my business Amex. I don't need them on this card. Let me cancel it." They said, Well, what if we changed the card to a different card that didn't have the annual fee?" I said, "Wait, what?" I said, "Well, you want?" They said, "Yeah, we'll change it to, you know, the Amex has the different colors. We'll change it from the platinum card or whatever it was to a blue card, and the annual fee will go away." And I'm like, "Okay, well then, what will happen to my limit?" "Oh, it'll stay the same." I'm like, "Wait a minute. You want to keep this card in my hand so bad that you will reduce it to a card without so it's not a pretentious card or you know, one with a lot of attention on it. It doesn't have the same benefits and everything, but you're going to keep the limit, and it's a decent amount of money on this card." And it hit me at that point. They need to have these cards in people's hands, because at some point they're sure you're going to use it.
Oh, absolutely.
I want you to think about how many ads you see on TV for American Express, never leave home without it, you know, and now they got never do business without it for their business line. Capital One, what's in your wallet, Visa, it's everywhere you want to be. They've got all these commercials constantly hitting you about getting a credit card, having a credit card, using a credit card. Those ads are expensive. They cost a ton of money. You know, you've seen at data on what people are paying for a 30-second commercial during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
A lot of them are credit card companies. I can see Samuel L. Jackson's face right now, you know, talking about some, you know, whatever. And so think about, where are they getting this money, you know? And think about all the ads you get in the mail. Shiny, nice pieces of, you know, not like some typewritten or handwritten letter. You get these well-made, heavy paper, shiny, glossy documents telling you how you can get these cards, how you can get one for that'll have 0% interest for X months if you have decent credit.
Oh, yeah. They make it look really nice. Make it look
very nice and very appetizing, right?
Yep. They want to get it in your hands so badly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I had a mileage program. So, you know, redeem flights, you know, miles for flights. And there was a portion of the program where you could redeem your points for, you know, merchandise, you know, hotels, rental cars, and even, you know, food. But to redeem your points, you had to get one of their credit cards that they sponsored to redeem the points. And so you had to sign up for a credit card to redeem, just to redeem the points. Now,
just to redeem the points. You're not,
realize that you're probably, if you've got a credit card access to quote unquote money, you will probably not only just redeem your points, but you'll probably spend.
Right.
And they know that. No, and they know that, you know, people will have the urge to keep up with society, and they will, you know, think that it's free money and they will spend. Just get it in your hands. And then your intuition, your, you know, proclivity will take place. Is that the right word?
That's a good word. That's a good word. Your inclination.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah,
you know, I get it.
It will happen.
I get it.
You will see it in your pocket, and you'll say, "Well, I don't have any money right now, but I want that right now." And you'll pull out that credit card and buy it.
So, you know, we've kind of smashed on credit cards here, and I did try to point out a couple of points of how it is kind of necessary in some cases, just based on the way our economy is set up. But you know, there's a smart way to use credit cards. How do people get in trouble? Credit cards, you mentioned you got your first credit card in college, as did I. That's a favorite target of credit card companies, because they want to get people who have, at least don't have a negative credit history. And normally college students don't have a negative credit history yet. So, and they're also counting on the students' parents to take care of them. But when a recent survey took place with college students about their credit cards, 18% of the people interviewed said they didn't realize they had to make monthly payments on the credit card. So you talk about free money. It's like they think, okay, I got this card so I can buy stuff. And then they're like, well, oh, I have to make monthly payments on this? And it's things like that is how you just start getting in trouble. The whole concept of a credit card is buy now, pay later. And people want that TV now. They want those clothes now. They got to go to this certain party or this event, and they got to buy something. And then they don't think about that $300 outfit is going to end up costing you $700 by the time you finish paying for your initial purchase. It's that lure of instant gratification, and that's where we get into trouble. It's people use credit cards to support a lifestyle they can't afford with their bank accounts, with their cash. And I mean, this whole podcast series is about how to use your income to become financially secure, financially stable, financially free. And credit cards and loans and things like that, and we'll get into different kinds of loans in another episode, but credit cards are one of the main ways that people dig themselves the holes that they can't ever get out of, or it takes them a long time once they decide. Yep. And a lot of it is driven by what we see on movies, what our friends say, what they're saying in the rap songs. We want every, and please people understand, Dave Ramsey is fond of saying, the people you're trying to impress, they don't care anything about you. And all you're doing is making them mad. Now, if that's your goal, fine. But the reality is you're jeopardizing your own financial future for short-term gratification.
No, that's so absolutely, Dave, right.
Any ideas on how we can kind of stay out of this?
Yeah, so like you said, you know, credit cards are sometimes a necessary evil to, you know, live in life and, you know, rent a car, rent a hotel. And sometimes you just need it. And we have to realize that a credit card is not a free lump sum of money that you have. You have to pay it back. And when you use it, you have to pay a lot more than what you've spent. And you have to just realize, keep that in the back of your mind or in the front of your mind, that this is not free money. You will pay a lot to use that card if you know, keep it, you know, longer than whatever the grace period is for paying it back. In some cases, it's, you know, 25 days. If you pay it off within 25 days, you don't have to pay the interest. And that's what you need to keep in the forefront of your mind. It's not free money. Pay it back as soon as you can, if you need to use it. Now, one of the things we, you know, when we take a look at our credit card use, we may see that we are buying things that we really don't need, you know, and really don't need to have, at least right now. A lot of these purchases are impulse purchases that we don't have the money for, and we just throw it on a card. And so when we take a look at that, we say, okay, I didn't really need that. I didn't really need to buy that. I could have saved up money and then, you know, bought it with cash. You know, so we have to make sure that we, if we're using it, pay it off as soon as possible. As soon as possible. Yeah. If you need to use it. If you don't need to use it, don't use it.
Don't use it.
Don't use it. You know, save up the money and then buy it. So a lot of people run up these huge bills thinking that, oh, well, it's just a little bit a month that I have to pay back. Well, you will pay back a long time, you know, if you pay that little bit of money, and you will pay interest on that. And so I think that one of the popular sayings is that if you want to, you know, stay out of, you know, credit card debt, stop using the credit card. If you want to get out of a hole,
that's the first step.
Stop digging.
That's the first step. That's the first step. If you want to get out of a hole, stop digging.
That's right. Yeah. So basically just, you know, stop using credit cards for discretionary spending. You know, because you will find out that, you know, eventually you're not paying it off. You've found something else to do with that money. And then now you have a balance. And it takes a long time to get rid of that balance.
And real quickly, Dave, you have any short ideas on how to, if I have a bunch of credit card debt, I get it. I should stop using the credit cards first, but now I've got to attack this debt.
Yeah. So
any ideas about how to approach that?
Let's say you're in the hole right now and you've got a lot. Let's say you've got three credit cards and you've got a lot of credit card debt. You know, one of the ways to show some success quickly is to take the credit card that's got the smallest balance. And then you can pay that off. And now you say, oh, I've gotten rid of one credit card. Just, you know, focus on that one. You know, other plan is to focus on the credit card with the highest interest rate. Now, if you've got a card that has a really high interest rate, well, that's the one that's charging you the most amount of money. And that's the one that's going to take, you know, a long time to pay back, depending upon the balance. And so if you focus on the one either with the largest interest rate or the one with the smallest balance, I mean, I think if I were to, you know, try to tackle the problem, I would say, well, pick the one with the smallest balance. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Pay it off to make it zero. And then start working on the next one.
That's a mental. So that's kind of like an encouragement thing, right? I've gotten rid of one. If you have a lot of cards, I've gotten rid of one. So now I've got, you know, whatever the money I was using to pay that one off, I can now put towards the next lowest one.
Absolutely. And then you start working on that one to pay it off.
Is that kind of a thing? Snowball effect, I think it's called. Yeah. The highest interest rate one is, if you don't have so many credit cards, but certainly you want to try to attack that. But as you mentioned, those with the highest interest rate, and those could be the ones with the highest balances, could take the longest to pay off. And that could feel frustrating if it takes you a long time.
Yeah, you don't see progress.
Still look up and you still see you've got a bunch of credit cards. So understood and appreciate that.
Hey, let's look at some. I think we've done some research here. Let's just shoot out a couple of facts here. So let's see. We mentioned that we first got our cards and credit card in college. So over 42% of students in college have credit card debt.
That's crazy.
19%, I think you mentioned that 19% are authorized users. That means that the credit card is probably in their parents' name. 28% of college students have debt that exceeds over $2,000.
Students
that don't have jobs and someone else is paying this bill.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Those are big numbers, and that's just the college kids. I mean, in the research that I did, the billions of dollars that were being made by the credit card companies, I mean, it explains everything. You know, people say, oh, credit card, whatever, I need it for this, that, the other. The credit card companies are cleaning up. You mentioned all those methods that they're collecting money from. They're getting, every time you use it, they get something from the merchant. Every time you don't pay it all off at the end of the month, they get an interest fee from you. Every time you're late, they get a late fee from you. They are just making money hand over fist, which is why, I mean, that's the only, when you see something advertised over and over again that heavily, you got to know that it's making money. I used to say the same thing about the guy on the train selling socks and phone books. I'm like, he would not be here if he wasn't making some money, because he's here all the time.
Yeah.
And, he doesn't have to make all the money. He just needs to make enough. For these guys, they are killing it, because we're tied into spending. And, I mentioned Amazon and things like that. We buy things and then we wait to pay credit cards off. I mean, the person who has credit cards and pays it off at the end of every month, they're leveraging the best feature of the card is the convenience, but they are not suffering the costs that come along with that. The only way that they're suffering any costs is that sometimes merchants will raise their prices to cover their interchange fees.
Oh, that's right.
But the reality is, holding a credit card balance, credit cards can be dangerous. There's, as useful as they are, as convenient as they are, they can be dangerous.
Yeah, so, and it takes a lot of discipline. If you have a card, like the guy that pays it off, before he's charged an interest fee, it takes lots of discipline.
Lots of
to
discipline.
To do that. And if you don't have the discipline to do that, and that's really kind of what they count on. Hey, listen, this guy's not going to have the discipline to pay off this, every month. So, hey, I'm going to make my interest rate, income off of that. So it takes lots of discipline to use it wisely.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So, Dave, I think we're at time here, buddy, that we could talk about this forever, just credit cards forever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want to?
No, I was going to say, we're going to get into some of the other types of credit issues that people get into in the later episodes, payday loans and auto loans and things like that. So,
All right. So just as a summary for this one, what we're saying is credit cards can be useful and a lot of times necessary for just the ease of life in terms of renting or buying things online or even going to your favorite coffee shop that no longer accepts cash. The discipline comes into play in trying to build your personal financial security is not paying extra for something you can or cannot afford. Be sensible about credit card use. Aim to pay off balances by the end of the month. And understand that the banks and the credit card companies are making billions of dollars off of you and all of us through the use of these cards. Even if they don't get interest fees and even if they don't get late fees. So don't give them extra money that comes out of your pocket. They are buying yachts and Porsches with the difference there. So keep that in mind. One last thing I want to mention, Dave, is that just to remind everybody, we do have a website at www.keepitpodcast.com. That's www.keepitpodcast, all one word, .com. And feel free to visit us there, where we post every episode as well as other resources for helping you learn how to use your income to build your wealth and financial security. And I think that'll do it for us today, Dave.
All right, very good, Ken.
That's a lot, but hopefully we got the message across. And of course, we do get feedback from listeners and are look forward to hearing back from you on this. If there's anything you think we missed or would like to hear more about, let us know and we'll try to include it in a future episode. That's it for me.
All right, Ken, we'll talk to you later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Please be sure to visit our website at www.keepitpodcast.com. That's www.keepitpodcast, all one word, .com. There you'll find links to websites and blogs related to building wealth and other useful information. You can also leave comments about our show and listen to or download all our shows after they air. Also, as a reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as financial advice, as we do not know your specific circumstances and are not your fiduciaries. Please consult with your personal financial advisor before making any investments or financial decisions. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. In the meantime, remember, it's not what you make, it's what you keep.